On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
And you listen to Redskins Talk with JP Filling.
What up, everybody? Redskins Talk Podcast. Hope you are doing great. This is an important replay pod we're putting together. We've been doing these for about a month, and we're replaying all the game podcasts from the 2018 season. This one is important because this is the first one that was without Rich Tandler. If you remember, the Redskins had a dramatic win at home against the Cowboys where a last-second field goal that could have tied the game sailed, hit the crossbar, and Trent Williams, after the game, said that was Tandler, that Tandler had moved that kick. And it was an emotional game for me and for thousands of other people, honestly. I think you guys are really going to enjoy this one. As always, we're brought to you by the good folks, Oarsman Automotive of Virginia, particularly this week. Go check out Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Tell Garv we sent you over there. He will get you set up with a new car, a used car, a lease, anything you are looking for. All right, here comes a big win at home over the Cowboys and a good remembrance of our friend RT.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
We are set. Snap, the spot, kick is on the way, and it
yeah!
Hits the upright! No good! Redskins win! Redskins win! 2017! How about that, brother?
Wow, he hit the upright! We'll take it.
The Redskins win 20-17. They are now 4-2 and on top of the NFC East.
Well, that was a day, and that was a wild win that the Redskins desperately needed. They have finally broken through against the Cowboys, their first home win against Dallas since 2012, which is just absurd. It all came down to a missed field goal that doinked off the upright in the last seconds of regulation for Dallas to tie it. This is Redskins Talk. This is JP Finley. We are brought to you by Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them, so you should ride with them. Let's address the elephant in the room before we get too much further. Pete is here. Pete, what's up?
What's up, guys?
Mitch is here. Mitch, what's up?
What's up, guys?
Tandler is not here, and we are all trying to deal with it, honestly. I'm not sure how we're going to, but that dude would want us to keep working and keep doing what we do. So we're going to do it.
Was that a cough for Tandler?
You might as well have been. And I can't tell you, my phone blew up twice tonight. when Preston Smith scored the touchdown, and I tweeted that one out, TD for RT. And I talked to Preston about it after the game, and he was laughing and smiling and kind of what we're all doing.
Just AJ said his mom came to the set, and AJ told her, hey, our guy Rich, who had that moment of silence, loved Preston, and she began crying when she heard that.
It's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, shooting on the sideline when Preston jumped into the stands, when he got back to the sideline and was celebrating with his friends and stuff, I was, you know, I'm behind the camera, but I'm a, you know, a little bit of an emotional guy.
You are, dude. I've learned a lot.
I was swallowing it down pretty hard, so it was a real cool moment, really cool moment.
And we're going to play the interview, the Preston interview, in tomorrow's Day After Pod.
The Redskins, we want to thank the Redskins.
For sure. We haven't
first class.
Going to give them a game ball.
Okay. Well, you were ahead of me then.
Well, the two moments. We haven't gotten to the second moment.
Right.
I have a feeling I know what the second moment was.
Well, the Preston moment was incredible, right? Well, there were a lot of incredible moments. But when my phone blew up the second time was when, what's the kid's name? Maher?
Brett Maher.
Brett Maher.
Naher.
Scooted the ball into the upright. Everybody is just saying, RT blew that ball, you know, big gust of wind.
RT coughed that ball.
That's what Stephon said. That was a Tandler cough. Blew that just enough.
That was sold.
I mean, it was
the best moment.
It was just, if you're a fan that's getting antsy that we haven't gotten into any real analysis yet, it's coming. Just relax. But it just felt like for it to end that way, they just weren't going to lose on this day.
No.
And that had way more to do with the 53 men on the field and the coaching staff, everybody. But in just some small way, it felt like.
It felt apropos.
Sure, it did. It really did. And we got a lot of game balls to give out. It's crazy. Like when Kerrigan got the strip sack, Preston scored, made it 20-10 against a terrible offense. I was like, all right, this is a done deal. Skins get two first downs. You know, like
I started looking at, okay, they play the Giants next week and then the Falcons after that. Yep, okay, we're starting to add up some wins here. And then, of course, I've just got way too far ahead of myself. There.
Of course,
shocker, Pete got ahead of
shocker.
Pete
is planning his wedding with girls he hasn't gone on dates yet.
Right. The guy that can't handle success as much as anybody
right.
is talking about the
just
Redskins handling
idiotic
success.
Idiotic move on my part.
But in the end, they got the win. And
that's all that matters.
4-2. 4-2 is no joke. Like
and game and a half.
And the Panthers had a huge comeback win against the Eagles.
Yeah.
Today was a big day for Burgundy and Gold.
Giants play tomorrow night. I don't even know that they're still really in the picture, but.
I mean, 5 games into the season, they're not out of the picture yet.
Yeah, of course. That cut you off. Certainly, the Redskins were outrageous in how great they were to the Tandler family. They had Tandler's wife, his brothers, his sisters, his kids, his extended family. I met some cousins, some nephews. Yeah. And they set them up in suites to watch the game.
RT jerseys.
RT jerseys.
They gave him a signed RT jersey, the Redskins jersey with Tandler on the back. It was signed by the entire team.
And Dan Snyder presented it to him.
I mean, just
to his wife, to Andy.
Just an A-plus effort all the way around from the Redskins organization. They gave a game ball. They're going to give a game ball to his wife, Andy. They offered it up. They're going to go get it painted nicely. You see the final score and the date and all that. And it's just, you know, you don't really know what to expect, you know, when something sudden happens. But
right.
Really just an unbelievable effort from the Redskins to show the love to Tandler.
Andy still has her fastball. So they did a moment of silence for the whole stadium. Then they did a separate moment of silence in the press box. Afterwards, I talked to Andy for a few minutes, and she was like, hey, what time do you need me there for the podcast next week?
Yeah.
She said when the dust clears here, she wanted to have the three of us over to do a podcast from the Lazy Boy. We saw the man cave pictures of the man cave with the Lazy Boys.
Give me the date and I'll clear out my calendar.
Well, what's on your calendar, Pete?
It's already pretty clear, so it wouldn't take a lot of clearing.
His future wedding is on the calendar.
Right, his wedding.
A couple rounds of golf.
A bunch of golf at Needwood.
Yeah.
all right.
Let's get to the game.
Let's get to it. Ugly. We thought it was going to be ugly.
You said field position all day.
I said field position, and I said first team to 20 is going to win this thing.
Check.
I was proved right, but a little bit different than I expected.
The wind was whipping through the stadium. There wasn't going to be a lot of long kicks, long passes.
Well, these teams
don't
throw,
do that anyway, right. So it wasn't really an issue. But pregame, the wind was really whipping through, and And once kickoff came, it kind of died down a little bit. But
it was cold, man. I wore a sweater vest.
You did. You got a lot of comments on Twitter about it.
You know what, Twitter? I'm only reading the compliments.
But how big of a game for Adrian Peterson?
Dude, how good is Adrian Peterson?
How was he available when the Redskins got him?
Dude, I grabbed him in the locker room as he was leaving, and I just said, man, I got to tell you, it's impressive watching you. And I asked him, I was like, how much are you enjoying proving everybody wrong? And he looked at me, and I've tried to describe his eyes on the podcast before, but there's this intensity
ferocious
in those eyes, ferocity. And he just looked at me. I was like, how much are you enjoying this? All the people that said you couldn't do it. And he just gave me this like laugh, this like kind of like supervillain, like, oh, ha, ha.
Kind of an icon.
And he's like, man, I'm just out here balling. Like, in his mind, none of this is remarkable. He's just playing football how he's always played football
in his mind,
because he's really, really good at football.
In his mind, he's like, I only got 99 yards today. What the hell? I should have gotten 100.
Right.
Definitely was. But that,
and I bet he was mad he didn't get in the end zone.
Yeah. That first quarter 16-yard cutback, the stretch play to the outside on the left.
You know what impressed me most about that? And I said this to Kime in the press box.
No holding?
No. At Maplewood, like in high school, I was taught, you're taught to switch the ball to whatever side of the field you're running to, right? But usually, even top NFL running backs, that move is a little awkward, coming across the center of your body, switching the ball from your left to your right. It usually causes you to like break stride a little bit, or maybe it gets caught up going over your chest. It was so smooth and effortless. And it was such a minor, minuscule thing, but every minor thing that dude does is perfect.
It was the cutback on the play. I'm going to compliment my offensive lineman real quick.
I can't believe you haven't talked about the D line yet.
Love, big men.
Believe me, we're going to get there. But great job. No clips, no blocks in the back, no holding. And Josh Doctson, for all the trouble we give him, did a great job of sticking on that block on the backside and let Adrian cut up inside him and for another 5-6 yards or so. That was a play. There haven't been too many plays where you're astounded by the athleticism of Adrian Peterson, not just like the strength and
the physicality
whatever, right? And whatnot, but that was impressive. I mean, I didn't necessarily know they still had that in them.
And Capri Bibbs mentioned Doctson as a guy who he appreciates as a blocker, and Michael Floyd and Mo Harris are bigger receivers who can help on the edge too. So they're getting blocking from everybody, and it's certainly helping with AP making guys miss too.
But go ahead, Pete.
I think my main takeaway, and this is something I'll write about, is that Jay Gruden and the Redskins wanted to build a defense that could withstand the NFC East and handle opposing rushing attacks in the NFC East, and this was their first test to do so, and it was an A++ effort.
Just last week was a pretty big test.
I know, but this is the NFC East.
In the NFC.
Zeke Elliott, and they just completely silenced him, both halves. The second lowest first half rushing
34 yards,
of his
dude,
career.
Right?
Preston Smith couldn't even believe the number when he saw it in postgame. So
13 rushing yards in the first half.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to one of the Redskins coaches pregame, and he was talking about that exact point about how the team is kind of built to counteract what the Cowboys and Eagles and Giants, to that matter, do. And he was saying that, you can draft D linemen and they can be with your team for a decade, 12 years, 15 years, obviously, if you can re-sign them and all that. Running backs have a shelf life in the NFL, and how impressive. Unless you're Adrian Peterson. But I was talking about how impressive it is that the foresight of the team to kind of address that need, knowing that you're going to have Zeke for another 5-6 years, knowing you're going to have Saquon for another 5 years or whatever the time frame is. So, and they played damn well today.
Yeah.
Damn well.
John Allen did an incredible job getting to the quarterback. He had that huge holding call, the holding call on him when they were starting to drive down with about 3.5 minutes to go to bring back a big play, and he dominated.
Yeah, and Mason Foster said, this is why me and Zach Brown re-signed. Josh Norman said, you don't win in the NFC East if you don't win in the trenches. So this is something that's permeating through the entire defense and is a mindset that's really starting to be built, and it's kind of exciting to watch. Because I looked, the last time the Redskins were top half in the NFL, just top half in the NFL in points allowed per game was 2008. Just top half, 16 or above. 2008 was the last time. So this could be a defense that is the best defense in a decade.
Look at Pete looking stuff up.
That's very impressive. One thing I love about Norman is, you know, those secondary guys are known to be kind of divas, not necessarily the Redskins, but across the league. And they don't always give credit to the big men up front. But Norman goes out of his way week to week to point out.
I know that matters for you, buddy.
Yeah.
You know what? Someone's got to shine some light on him. Right?
DJ, remember on Twitter when DJ was saying that they need a draft?
He was so pumped for that.
Yeah.
He loved the Daron Payne pick.
DJ is a Twitter GM around draft time.
Isn't every DB a Twitter GM?
Hell, aren't all of us? Everybody is around NFL draft time. All right, I think we go to game balls. Yes?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right, before we go, real quick, I want to thank the good folks at Orsman Chantilly Kia. Listen to this. You can get a 2019 Kia Soul. This is a 2-year lease, I believe. Guess how much you can get this car for?
I'm looking at your computer right now.
Well, you don't get to guess. Pete, how much you think you can get a brand new Kia Soul right now for a 2-month lease, for a 2-year lease, no money due at signing? You could afford this.
$5,000?
You think it's $5,000 a month?
Oh, $5,000 a month. Okay, so $600 a month? I have no basis. Jay.
You're such an idiot.
You can give me 100 guesses, and
way too advanced for
Pete. Dude, I don't even know. You said 2-year lease. What the hell does that mean? You're using. You might as well have been speaking in Japanese in that entire segment.
I wish Chandler was here right now.
I know. The eye roll would be just.
Oh, he'd be attacking.
I'm taken aback by what you just asked me.
I'm taken aback by your response.
$200.
The good news, folks, is it's not $5,000. It's not $600 either.
You
it's
get
way better than
$139 a month. You get a brand new Kia Soul lease. Zero due at signing.
My broke ass could definitely afford that. I could afford maybe two.
Go check them out. Orsman Chantilly Kia. Don't bring Pete with you negotiate.
Yeah, goodness, do not let Pete negotiate.
Yeah, he could be like, sir, it's $139. I'll pay you $5,000 a month. What an idiot.
My bad.
So I have two ideas. Well, let's do game balls. Like Pete, you can start, buddy.
All right. Ah, oh, man, I have
He's got a list.
I have a lot here.
Pete really prepared for this pod more than I've seen him prepare.
I think it's because he looks super nerdy with his like shirt tucked in and everything.
And he's got the pen in his ear.
Yeah, he's going for it.
Okay, I'm going to give one to Capri Bibbs. First touchdown of the game, led the team in catches. He said afterward that he takes a lot of pride in filling in for Chris Thompson, and him and Chris Thompson talk a lot during the week. So Capri Bibbs did his best Chris Thompson impression, maybe Chris Thompson light, helping out this offense and making some plays when they needed it.
He also did a real good job picking up blitzes up the middle.
Yeah,
on third down. He was he played well today.
He did. I'm going to go to the guy that played better, Adrian Peterson. I know we already talked about him, but 24 carries, 99 yards. I'm not a math guy, but that's
almost exactly for
almost four a carry.
4.1 is what it's listed here.
Okay.
Long of 23.
I mean, he had a catch for 8 yards, over 100 total yards. Going into the game, AP was 125 yards behind Tony Dorsett, Cowboys legend, on the NFL all-time leading rushing yards. None of us thought that was really in play. Coming into this game, the Cowboys front seven's been very hard to run against. They had the top YPC against. So they were the best in the league at yards per carry. I think it was like 3.4 or something. And Peterson killed him. I mean, he was what the Skins had on offense, period. And another day, another wildly impressive effort from Adrian Peterson.
Absolutely.
And he said before this week that 75% of his family, Cowboys fans, 15% are rooting, or 10% are rooting for him, but in a loss. So 85% of Adrian Peterson's family is sad today. But that's okay for Redskins fans. They don't give a damn.
I don't give a damn what you say.
And if you guys are both giving running backs a game ball, you know where I have to go with it.
Kicker. Sure.
And I'm not going to go the entire offensive
punter
line, though.
Dress is getting one.
Oh, yeah, I know.
On Capri Bibbs' screen pass touchdown.
Sheriff's block sprung him.
Morgan Moses' block sprung him. Morgan peeled off and got the corner on the outside. And then Sheriff just drove a safety into the Gatorade?
Yeah, Capri said he escorted into the Gatorade cooler, which was a great line.
Incredible. I'm going to go with one Sean Laval. What do you guys think about that?
I like it.
The Redskins did a lot of runs on the outside, knowing how staunch the Cowboys' defense is up front.
Staunch. And their linebackers are really good, by the way. Cowboys linebackers are fast and good.
Getting Sean Lee back was...
Yeah, but even
I know,
Smith
even without
Van Der Esch.
But so they were running around to the outside a lot. And Laval, for whatever issues he may have in pass blocking in the middle, does a great job when he's out in space picking up a DB and just burying him. And for that, Sean Laval gets a game ball coming back.
Welcome back, Sean. Enjoy your game ball. I'm going to give one to DJ Swearinger. That forced fumble fumble recovery was incredible. Just how he knifed in there, missiled right into the ball and took it.
Almost had the pick earlier.
Yeah, almost had the pick.
We got a DJ interview tomorrow for the day after pod as well.
Yep, and JP had a good line in there. I don't want to spoil it, but it was funny about asking if we need to add something to DJ's resume considering how well he's
played. Just say it, dude.
DJ Swearinger is basically a pass rusher the way he's played the past couple weeks. He's been all over the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm funny, Mitch.
And also, I think...
Are you?
They've played a couple offenses.
Funny looking. Go ahead,
Pete. They've played a couple...
Yeah, in that sweater vest.
Guys, please. Settle down here. That's enough shtick.
Yo, all right. Jeez.
He's got,
he looks like a nerd. He's got a bunch of notes. Go ahead, Pete.
Boys, please quiet down. The adult in the room is speaking. I also think they've played a couple offenses that aren't great passing the ball, but their secondary also has been a little bit tighter. So the communication, and I think that a lot of that goes through DJ. You see him gesturing all the time. So forced fumble, fumble recovery, and a better communicator. Congrats, DJ.
No argument. We haven't said Ryan Kerrigan yet. Two sacks, including the strip sack that really won them this game, that Preston recovered for the touchdown. You know, the question has been, where is Kerrigan? Where is Preston? They showed up tonight. They needed him. They had pressure going most of that game.
Yeah. Are you taking both Preston and Kerrigan?
I was just doing Kerrigan.
So I'll take Preston for a full game ball, and I'll give a little hat tip to Tandler for putting him in the right place on that fumble recovery. And an
H-T-R-T.
H-T-R-T. And A-plus touchdown celebration from the Redskins.
The way they mobbed him was so cool.
What'd they do?
So he Lambo leaped into the front row.
Right.
And then the entire defense jumped on him there. And then Trent and Morgan and Capri, I think I saw out there, all came running off the bench.
Deion Hamilton was there. Everyone
who was coming in for the extra point ran over and got in on the celebration. How there weren't like four celebration flags, I don't know. But man, that was an A-plus celebration.
Watching that video later is going to give me chills. That was a very cool celebration. I'm going to give one, and this is kind of shticky, so I'm sorry. I'm giving it to the left upright.
All right.
Rejecting Brett.
Fine.
Hartman.
All right. You don't get to keep going, but fine. Zach Brown. We had an interview with Zach Brown, and I'll be totally honest. I wanted to write about it. I wanted to get it on a podcast. Everything that happened last week, it just didn't happen. Zach Brown's father is a huge Cowboys fan. Pete, I think, wrote about this in part of an Adrian Peterson story. Last week, Zach was telling me, man, I'm going to have something for Dallas. I'm going to have something for Dallas. He told me that his father's a big Cowboys fan that texts him immediately. Even when his son loses to that team, he talks trash. And so when I saw Zach in the locker room, I was like, dude, you going to text your dad? He's like, oh, I'm talking big after this one. I thought it was awesome. And ZB played really well. He didn't play a lot late. They went to Josh Harvey Clemens a lot. I think that must have been a coverage-related question or issue. But
Clemens had that great breakup in the end zone on a touchdown pass, that would be touchdown pass to Zeke.
Yeah.
No?
He broke the pass up.
It wasn't great coverage, but he broke the pass up. Those long arms got in there.
It kind of just hit his hand.
Well, didn't they also eventually score on that drive?
Yes.
I'm just saying it was a nice play from
whoever runs our Twitter account, though, like tweeted out something that was like such a cheesy line.
Cringeworthy, yeah.
Well, what? It was like
Josh Harvey Clutchman's or something.
Yeah. I was like, I said,
I kind of want to throw up just thinking.
I said it. I was like, who the hell sent? I thought you sent it.
Yeah.
But I think ZB gets one.
We'll recycle that. We should recycle that interview maybe tomorrow just to let people see the.
Yeah. I don't know if it works after the fact.
I just.
What the hell? Shovers, put it on at the very end.
Yeah.
You can
the
track
very
it down.
End. Let him hear it.
But I don't even know where it is from last week. Whatever. You're up. Game ball.
It was just funny because as we did the interview.
How has Mitch not mentioned the D lineman yet?
I talked about him a little earlier, and we're getting there right now.
All right.
Okay. But as you were talking to ZB about his dad texting him, JP must have asked him four times.
Yeah. It's like, wait.
Like, really? Wait, hold on. After the game, after you lost.
Your father texted
All right, we should run it.
We should run it. We should put it in right here. It's pretty great.
You have family members that will talk trash to you after you lose to the Cowboys? Or like last year?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, my dad did. My uncle. You know, there's a lot on that.
Your dad?
Yeah.
My next game ball goes to, John Allen?
Yeah.
Is that an easy one to pick?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sack, the whole thing, like you mentioned.
Dominated the front. I see somewhere I think in the first, was the first quarter, Zeke had 8 carries for 8 yards. It was his lowest output in a quarter to date. I mean, that was a man effort right there. And John really steps up and leads at the defense, but particularly the defensive line and front 7 and – man, when you look at your leader and he's dominating like that, getting to the quarterback, hitting an all-pro running back the way that he was, it's hard not to get hype and play with him. John, I mean,
John's a bad dude. Yeah.
And you know what's cool is, like, after these wins, it's easy for players to, like, go on and talk a lot and kind of hype themselves up and hype the team up. But John Allen's post-game interview was still so choppy, and we were lobbing up softballs. Hey, how great was this? How fun was this? And he's like, yeah, we dominated. Yeah, this and that. Just still so
being
focused.
Some badasses.
Like, he's just, he being doesn't some care. Badasses. Yeah, he just wants to win and then go win the next game.
I asked Deron Payne in the locker room. I was like, dude, you know, you've been doing it, but John got the sack today. Who played better? And, like, just trying to get a fun response. And he was in full Bama mode. He's like, well, you played good as a unit.
Yeah.
Like, all right, dude. He had a funny line, though. He's like, yeah, man, I'm trying to get used to the Cowboys as my rival instead of Auburn. I was like, all right.
Yeah. One crazy stat. Ezekiel Elliott's longest run today, 6 yards.
Yep.
That is stupid.
All right, Pete.
Deron Payne does such a good job, real quick, just because we talked about him.
I kind of think he gets one, too.
Okay.
But
somebody's
does he
give
get,
it to
like,
him
an honorary run, one for also jumping the snap on the field goal and making them bump back 5 yards, or is that a game ball?
He didn't jump it. The center, like, aggressively, okay. Or the snapper.
I think that might have been more cringeworthy because it was debatable whether they were going to call that on the center.
Yeah.
Anyway,
go ahead.
I interrupted.
Next game
Do you have another inanimate object to give a game ball to?
I was thinking about giving one to the wind, but I'll pass. I have one, but I don't want to steal yours.
Just go, dude.
Tressway.
Go for it.
6 punts, completely 5 of them inside of the 20.
Earlier, you didn't know that he was having a good day. We had to explain to you why it was good.
So we've always talked
Will you about, admit that?
Yeah. So we've talked about how well Tress has punted a couple games recently, and I went to look at the overall stats, and the Redskins' net yardage is still pretty low, and their inside of the 20, like, total stuff is still really low. But today he was awesome in a game where field position was super important.
He had to punt from basically the 50-yard line so many times.
The net thing doesn't matter when you're punting into and you're trying to just get it to go 37 yards.
Right.
Yeah.
But I talked to him afterwards in the locker room, and he said that he was really mad about the last punt. That's one he could have bombed, and he didn't.
Yeah.
And it was tricky because they had a directional punt called, and he's punting into the wind, and he's trying to go across his body. There's a lot to it, but as good as he had been all day, the last punt, arguably the most important one, wasn't his best, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
During training camp, going back way back.
Ooh.
But Tress gets one.
Tress definitely gets one. He was talking about how he was working this year, the punting unit that was working this year, on being more directional instead of just bombing, and how he knew it was going to affect overall averages, but that net returns would be down based on placing the ball. So I think he kind of knew what the season may be as far as the stats go, but he had a great day.
You provide excellent insight, Mitch. I love hearing you talk sometimes.
God, he's so weird. It's my turn. I think Mason Foster gets one. Had 9 tackles, was out there. I don't have snap counts yet, but I bet he was there the whole game. Mason played well. I don't know if anybody disagrees.
No, I certainly don't.
No. I was going to go with...
I think we're getting low on the list now, though.
We are, but I got one more that I want to give out, and that's Josh Doctson.
I was going to give him a hat tip, but I'm cool with that. I will not veto it.
Not just I'm looking at the stats. He had 6 targets, 3 catches for 42 yards.
But he wanted the line of scrimmage. He made physical catches, which he hasn't always done.
He did, and he gave a great effort at a 50-50 ball that would have ballooned those numbers. He blocked his ass off today.
Yeah,
and to see Adrian running in the secondary and Capri Bibbs at times in the secondary with receivers glued to their guys. That's you don't always see that effort from receivers and. I was real impressed with Josh today.
Doctson was physical, and he hasn't always been that way. And I think he really helped. I mean, think about it. He had 40 yards. Smith only passed for 178.
Yeah.
I'm not a math guy, but that's like
a quarter.
Yeah.
And also, people like to give him crap for his heel injuries, but he's playing hurt right now, and he's still producing.
And I think that's what frustrates the coaches sometimes about him is that they know how big and physical he can be. And sometimes when you see those guys who are big and physical, and they play small, it's frustrating. It's even more frustrating. So, game ball for me.
Okay.
I'm cool out. With it. I'm all out.
Hat tips to Bibbs and Jordan Reed.
Both gave a ball to Bibbs.
Jay Reed had 2 catches, 43 yards.
Yeah.
He's, he had a couple nice plays. I don't think it's quite a game ball. You still like to see more out of him. But let's get to goats then. Is Alex a goat?
Yes.
I think he's got to be.
If for nothing else,
he owes that left upright his game.
No. If for nothing else, going out of bounds on that damn third down play.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Inexcusable.
Think about how different the end of that game is, that they were able to run Zeke into the middle of the field, gain a few more yards, call the timeout. I didn't get to listen to him post-game. I don't know if you guys were in there.
I think he said,
you know, the situation. We're in 4 minutes. You know they had one timeout left. Didn't foresee myself necessarily stepping up and having that grass. And for me, I knew a first down would end the game. And I did have glimpses of myself getting the first down, whatever it took. You know, they're kind of on the yard to make. I saw the line and potentially jumping for it. Obviously didn't get in that position. All of a sudden found myself pretty awkward on the sideline there. And can't have it. You know, could have been obviously cost us the game. In hindsight, you got to, you know, at that point, I think kind of abandon ship and go down there on the sideline.
And it was a good play from Sean Lee that knocked him out.
Watching it, it looked like, it's impossible to make that split second decision, so I'm not going to question too hard. But it looked like for us, it was obvious he wasn't going to get the corner, just go down, make them use the timeout.
I don't want to start doing comparisons, but you think about how critical we and fans have been of other quarterbacks that have been here. I mean, you're a vet. You can't, it's unconscionable. Like, you can't do that. Every bit of your bones has to make sure that you stay in bounds. It's more important that you stay in bounds than it is you get the first down.
It was shocking to see.
It's unbelievable.
No turnovers.
Didn't do much. Didn't have to do much.
Completely ineffective down the field.
He looks slow.
He took some shots though. He didn't look fast. He
just doesn't run away.
Expecting to see these wheels, we're not seeing them.
Yeah.
No.
D linemen are catching him from behind, and on his rollouts, they're. He's just having to go down instead of make extensive plays.
Did have four runs for 16 yards, though, which seems like more than I would expect.
Yeah.
But so we're all going GOAT. I think.
I do, yeah.
I think.
This team is winning, but
think about the red zone opportunities. Dustin Hopkins kicked field goals from 21 and 25 yards. I mean, that.
The missed throw to Sprinkle when he was rolling out had an easy gifted touchdown, and he just missed him. They're 4-2, but they are not 4-2 because of their quarterback. And. They feel like a very flawed 4-2, and their offense is working a certain way. But if they ever have to score a lot of points.
There is a but to all of that.
Big time.
That he's not turning the ball over.
Yes. And also he doesn't have his top weapons, but also.
But these margins in the Cowboys game and the Panthers game are razor thin. Mm-hmm. And any mistakes from the QB probably tips it the other way.
Yeah, absolutely. And
hell, it was the Dak mistake.
Yeah.
And I don't even know that you call that a mistake. Strip sacks happen, but that cost the Cowboys the game.
He also fumbled earlier in the quarter. So, I get the turnover thing is huge.
You also, 6 games in, if we would recite you Alex's the offensive stats through 6 games, you would never believe that they're going to be 4-2. So you kind of take it and hope that when they start playing well, then they can start racking up the wins. When the offense starts.
Right. You hope that they get their act together and then they can win some games.
The flip side is if their defense falls off at all, then they're going to be screwed. It's like when you're playing bogey golf and you're like, oh, I'm just a couple good shots away from making par. You're also a couple shots away from screwing up and being double bogey and triple bogey.
This is also what the Redskins have been for now a few years. A couple games, the offense plays well and the defense plays poorly. Then a couple games, the defense plays well and the offense plays poorly. It's when this team is able to get it all together that you're going to really see kind of how good they can be. And
are we all still confident that that's coming for the offense?
I don't know.
I don't know, but we're only 6 games in, and you're talking about a guy who's still getting used to the offense, getting his eyes used to what Jay's has.
3 for 12 on third down.
It's not good. I mean, none of it's good.
Listen to this.
It's good enough to win.
3 bad games in a row, though.
Listen to this. I mean, Dallas had more first downs. Dallas had more total yards. I mean, the giant difference is just in the run game and the turnovers.
I'm worried about
5 turnovers created in the last 2 games.
Yeah.
That wins ball games, man.
They forced one in 10 games in a row now, second longest streak in the NFL.
Good stat, Pete.
That is all good right, stat,
So I'm saying Alex, Mitch, you're up.
I have one if you need to.
I got one more.
Yeah, I don't know that I have a full goat, so go ahead.
He doesn't pay attention to the – it's only big men are bust for Mitch.
Yeah. Mitch thinks football is like 5-on-5. He doesn't even see anybody out on the edge.
Can't win without those five guys up front on either side of the ball.
I'm going to give one, and this was a big goat, and now it's kind of a small goat. Greg Stroman.
Yep.
Second time getting beat by a double move. So Tarek and I were talking – he had been on the field for 6 series as a defender, been burnt for 2 long touchdowns. He came back and made a couple of really sure, good tackles for a skinny corner, like getting guys down to the ground for 3- and 4-yard gains. But when he's gotten beat twice and he's gotten beat badly for back-breaking touchdown. So that's going to be scary. Dunbar's injury didn't seem too serious, so hopefully he's back next week.
I don't know about that.
Well, he.
I think that's pretty speculative.
He's a game time decision, and it happened on Friday, so I don't know. Maybe it is, and then they're going to be in trouble because Stroman, he's a rookie corner, and it happens. But
he's a late round rookie corner. He's a seventh round pick corner.
And the problem is the ones behind him are supplemental draft and undrafted, so it's not like he can get bounced for anyone else. They're thin behind the starters.
I think that's the list, Mitch, unless you got.
I mean, he was thrown into a pretty tough situation there.
Definitely.
Dude, I'm not.
I don't think you're
I'm
expecting.
Not, I think he. If you could take off one play, I think he played pretty good. He was super physical. You don't see that from a lot of young corners. But he still had one terrible play that led to a touchdown.
Punt return.
And that double.
He fair caught a ball that.
He had room for?
B. Mitch was in the press box, and B. Mitch was very upset at the fair catch call.
B. Mitch also probably thinks that he never fair caught once.
No, there was another one later where he thought it was a fair call. Yeah. The only thing I'll say about the punt return is that the wind was howling, and maybe he just didn't want – he had it and caught it and didn't want to mess with it. But, dude, it's a fair goat, man.
Yeah, I talked to him in the locker room about punt returning on Friday, and I asked him to grade himself, and he said his first main huge priority is securing it, and he's working on securing it and then making plays. But
smart.
Yeah. So – a fair catch here and there instead of fumbling, I guess, is fine. All right, that's good. We have, what, two goats?
Two goats is good.
And a hell of game balls.
Yeah.
I have this on my list, and you guys can – or Mitch, anyway. I don't know that Pete can. You can tell me this is a dumb idea if you think so. We didn't do over-unders this week. I don't know how the hell we're going to figure out over-unders. Yeah. We'll figure that out. But if we were to have set them
– okay.
Adrian Peterson went 24 for 99. That would have been over. I think the
absolutely.
The way the Cowboys were playing run defense, I think we would have set it at like 70.
Alex would have been under yards.
Dude, I figure Alex had 178 passing yards, which is terrible.
What, 230 or
I think we would have
like
set it at like 245.
Yeah. My wild card would have been game-winning field goals to hit off the upright over under 0.5, so that would have been an over.
Pete is such a dork.
The wild card would have been something Zeke-related and would have been under.
Way under. Or I was weirdly intrigued by Michael Floyd this week. So and now the wild card, who knows, would have come in from a listener.
Right.
So, but all right, that wasn't as bad as I thought.
My question is, how salty are you that you didn't get to cash in on the cheer wine?
Jeez, Mitchell. Of all the things I'm worried about right now.
Exactly.
Being owed two cheer wines is.
Exactly my point.
So one thing we did that was pretty fun, and maybe we'll do this later in the week, was the chances of them making the playoffs. And I'm not going to give an exact where I think they are in making the playoffs right now. It's still very early, man. Leaves haven't even fallen off the trees yet. But it's a big win.
It's a big win.
Game and a half lead in the NFC East.
It's a big win, especially considering what the rest of the division did so far.
And winning a division game, which they
have not done in a few years.
Beating
now.
The Cowboys.
Done well, yeah.
Beating the Cowboys at home.
They're exercising some demons.
They're now 3-1 at home against three NFC East foes. Or NFC foes, excuse me. Three good ones that will figure in the playoff picture.
Yeah. No, I mean, at home, they're
3-1.
3-0 against NFC foes.
Excuse me. Botch.
It's all right. So, I think it's wrap time. Go ahead, Pete.
I think 4-2 record is really exciting. This feels like a flawed 4-2 team, but in the NFC East, you can be flawed. And there's a lot of reason for excitement on defense. And if you just cross your fingers that Peterson can keep producing and that they can keep jumping out to early leads, it feels like this. It's a very clear formula. And it doesn't really line up with what everyone else is doing in 2018, but they're 4-2, and they have a couple things that you haven't seen.
Defense and running the football will work
always
in football
win,
forever.
Always
a dominant D-line and good pass defense.
It's what Philly did last year.
Yeah.
O-line, D-line, and if
that formula will always work.
Always work. And the offense is sputtering some. Chris Thompson has been playing.
Yeah.
Josh Doctson's coming back.
Crowder's not playing.
Crowder's not playing. There are a lot of excuses to be made for the offense. I think it's too early to check them off.
I think it's time to recalibrate expectations for the offense.
Certainly.
But I don't think there's no reason to think they can't be better.
I didn't want to buy back in until they won multiple games in a row. They've done that, and now if they can really put their foot on the pedal and beat the Giants, who they should, then we're talking about something really exciting.
This is, I mean, I think this week, as we start looking ahead to the Giants, is very important to shed the...
Everybody's going to say, like, okay, now the Redskins are going to go lose to the Giants.
And the Redskins
Danny don't... Frank, Mount Rushmore listener, said that, was the first person to tell me that.
Oh, yeah. This would be the most Redskins thing to do is win this game.
Redskins, now, a lot of folks have said it since.
The Redskins don't have a good record up in there. New York.
Alex played a terrible game last year. The Chiefs scored, I think, like...
Kirk played terrible up there every time.
Every time. And you talk about it being windy today. For whatever reason, MetLife Stadium. What is it?
MetLife Stadium.
The Meadowlands or MetLife Stadium.
I was just combining them. MetLife Stadium is always windy. The wind just howls and swirls. It's miserable. I hate it.
Something interesting to look for.
It is the most sterile stadium in the NFL.
It is.
It is just boring.
Anywhere.
Maybe I've only been to bad games up there because that's. The new joint, I think I haven't seen a good game up there, but it just is boring.
One thing to point out, earlier this week, Odell Beckham had some weird bit about how he hates water. Josh Norman wore a Bobby Boucher jersey today, post-game, the water boy.
And that's what I call high-quality H2O.
And they play each other next
Pete's
week.
Pete's mind is always working.
This is buried at the end of the pod, and I want Pete.
I'm
going
to go write that.
He's got to go blog about it. But
that is so great.
If there's somehow to confirm that the connection between
Josh Norman
wearing that jersey today and was with Odell ever. Is just spectacular.
And game ball for Norman, honestly. Like, it's game ball for that.
We want to ramp up the Norman-Odell rivalry.
Because Josh said, without Dez here, this rivalry is kind of quieter, so now he needs to go really hard against OBJ next.
All right,
Mr. Pullover.
Quarter zip to
slow sleep. Quarter zip from my country club.
My boy Chuck Honey knew that the logo would be on there. He just couldn't see it on...
the country club.
On with the suit jacket.
I'll tell you what, for everyone who's giving you a hard time on Twitter, the only problem with your outfit is, as always, the pocket square. It was a good look. You look sharp. You just got to get a little fluff in that pocket square.
I'm not a fluff guy. I'm a straight line guy.
But you are a fluff guy.
That's who
guy.
I am. I'm not. When do I fluff? I need 5 sentences to tell this story. I'm going to give you 5 sentences. I'm not a fluffer.
All right.
Are you a fluffer, Mitch?
I certainly am not, but I want to see
a little
more. I want to see a little more fluff out of you.
All right. So, look, man, we are all on this journey together. I love the podcast because we interact with you guys like crazy, and that was certainly the case with RT, and it's going to continue to be the case without RT.
It's definitely not going to slow down at all, guys.
We're going to have to figure some stuff out on our end as far as the hows and whats and who's on it and where and how often, but we're going to sort that out. So y'all keep listening. We're going to keep putting them out there, and certainly RT is – in our thoughts, and hell, maybe he was blowing field goals today. Who knows? Thank you guys for listening. Anybody? Nope.
Nope.
All right. Back to work. You made it this far. I owe you a beer.
An IPA.
Oh, let's explain that real quick.
Good call, Pete. Sorry.
A lot of folks were asking, especially a lot of our overseas listeners, a lot of the folks in Britain and such, were asking, like, because we always would talk about Taylor and his IPAs. Hey, I want to drink an IPA. What is it called, or like what brand? So here's, for those who don't know, IPA is just a style of beer. It's an India pale ale. It's hoppy. It's a little bitter. They're good. Pete probably hates them because he has
They make my tummy hurt, and I don't really like drinking them, but I drank a couple this week for Rich. You're welcome, Rich.
Jeez. They're good. It's what I drink.
They're usually a little higher alcohol. They're good. I mean, but it's
a beer.
Yeah, it's just a type of beer.
And that's what Taylor drank. And wherever we were on the road, he always wanted to get like the local IPA.
Local IPA, exactly. So if you guys are trying to drink a beer.
Just go to a beer store and get a local IPA.
Or go to your pub, bar, whatever it may be. Ask for whatever a good local beer is, and that's a great ode to Rich.
Yeah. So appreciate you asking. There's no one brand to tell you to go try, but have one anyway.
Have.
In a lazy boy if you have one, too.
Have a few.
All right. Now we got to go.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.